This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Ross Davey, and I must first say I'm so honoured, not to say a little overwhelmed, to have been asked to speak at this afternoon's session along such esteemed colleagues. I'm coping with the challenge by considering myself as the warm-up act. Just think of me as the extra factor rather than the X factor. So why am I here? The reason I was asked to speak today is that 2 years ago, I was successful in being awarded the very first Royal College of Midwives PhD studentship. This studentship was the brainchild of the RCM UK Board for Scotland director, Gillian Smith, pictured here. And I must say a huge thank you to her and the RCM for this fantastic opportunity. I must also mention Frances Day Sturck at the RCM, who has given me positive encouragement throughout my studies. The studentship was advertised UK-wide and is a salaried post based full-time at the NMAP Research Unit at the University of Stirling in Scotland. As the leading midwifery research centre in Scotland, I've had great guidance and also wish to thank my two fantastic academic supervisors, Professor Kate Niven and Dr. Helen Cheen, who don't like this photo. The starting point for the PhD set by the RCM was that it should be a study which would extend our knowledge in the promotion of normal birth. Before I tell you what I'm going to talk about today, I want to ask you a question. What intervention in labour has the following impacts? It reduces the cesarean section rate by between 10 and 51%. It reduces the assisted delivery rate by a similar amount. It reduces women's use of analgesia and anaesthesia by up to 36%. It reduces women's dissatisfaction with labour by an average of 27%. It increases a woman's chance of a normal delivery significantly. And in some of the studies, reduced labour length by nearly 3 hours. So do any of you want to hazard a guess as to the secret ingredient? Continuous support in labour. Well done. This brings me to my study. I'm not going to give you a blow-by-blow account of my PhD because you definitely lose the will to live. What I'm going to talk about today are mainly things that I found out since I began my studies. I'd been a clinical midwife for 15 years and I thought I was quite well read. So I hope some of them will be new and interesting to you too. So today I'll talk about the evidence we already have about support in labour, what is it and its impact on outcomes. Then move on to looking at how supportive behaviour can be observed and measured, and then show you some of the computer instrument that I've developed, which is called Smiley, which aims to assist in the measurement of support in labour. So, what is support? Is it cheerleading or just a firm hold? This is one overall definition of support in labour from Penny Simpkin. And in it, she basically says that support aims to ease a woman's anxiety and discomfort, helping her to draw on her own strengths. Social support theory and its impact on health has been developing for decades. The theoretical construction of intrapartum support, developed in the 70s and 80s with the work of people like Kahn and Lazarus and Folkman, and they identified three key elements in social support. Emotional support, tangible support, and informational support. Further research in the maternity setting led to the identification of a further one or two categories, advocacy and partner support. And there appears to be really quite widespread consensus among academics about these broad categorisations of support in labour. When I was talking to the consultant midwives group in Scotland some time ago about the idea for my study to understand what makes up high quality support in labour, one of them said to me, and you know who you are, "I think you'll find it's a kind of soup." I liked this idea and felt that the comfort food of soup helped me to think about what I want to understand about support. I want to understand the ingredients, the recipe, and whether it matters who the cook is. So first to the ingredients. There's been a lot of qualitative research with postnatal women and maternity care providers about what they consider to be support and supportive behaviours in labour. There's a lot of agreement between women and the carers on what support consists of, so I'll describe them together. What comes across from all the work with women is the absolute centrality of support and the quality of the support to women's experience of labour and birth. The experience of childbirth and the experience of care are considered as a whole. Throughout studies with women, the presence of a caregiver and support are reiterated as the essential structure of a positive experience. Beneath that overall heading that support is vital, when women are asked to be more specific about what exactly they found supportive during labour, it seems they come up with a remarkably consistent list. Top of the list is presence of a nurse or midwife, helping to feel in control, feeling cared for as an individual, and then a whole range of other aspects of support, only some of which I've been able to put here. And these are the references. So having got a sense of how intrapartum support is defined, I went on to explore the impact of support on outcomes. I already talked about the positive impact continuous support has been found to have in continuous randomised controlled trials when compared to intermittent support. The most comprehensive meta-analysis of these studies, and the one you're likely to be familiar with, is the Ellen Hodnett 2007 Cochrane Review. This review is a meta-analysis of 15 studies carried out since 1980 comparing intermittent with continuous support for 12,700 women. There are two other meta-analyses of continuous support, Zhang and Scott, quoted here, which analyse the data in a slightly different way. This gives the range and impact that was in the earlier slide. It's worth noting a few things about the RCTs. None of the studies were carried out in the UK. All of the studies, bar two, were carried out where most of the maternity care were provided by obstetric nurses and doctors rather than midwives. It's possible to interpret the results of the studies in a number of ways. Some commentators have argued that the data suggests that continuous support has more of an impact on outcomes when it's provided by laywomen or doulas rather than by a health professional. However, when I've returned to the original studies and looked at them in some detail, it appears that the variations in impact are related to a number of issues, not simply whether the supporter is a lay person. Firstly, the impact of support seems to be partially determined by the context. It appears to have more of an impact in a setting where there's less use of interventions. Secondly, the impact appears to be dose responsive. So where the support was started earlier in the labour and really was continuous, it had more impact than where the support was started later in the labour and was on occasion interrupted. So, for example, one of the randomised controlled trials by Heminiki in Finland, carried out with student midwives supposedly giving continuous support, allowed those students to leave the room to go and deliver a baby or observe care in another room. So overall, it seems that the effects of support are dose-related. The more support, the more impact. Another study that's less quoted than the randomised controlled trials on support is a retrospective analysis of birth records by Radin in America in 1993. This study reviewed the records of around 400 births. They identified the nurse primarily caring for the woman and the type of birth. They found that the caesarean section rates for the nurses varied really widely from 0 to 36%. Only low-risk women in active labour were included in this analysis. From this study, they used a statistical calculation called a MANOVA to identify the interaction and correlation of different variables on the caesarean section rate. Radin then compared the impact of the individual nurse on the type of birth with a whole range of other variables, maternal age, gestational age, infant weight, dilatation when the nurse assumed care, attendance and antenatal classes, and the attending physician. The nurse outweighed all the other variables. This is something I knew, but I wish I'd known the evidence for when I was a labour ward sister. Being able to tell the midwives for sure, based on the evidence out there, you do make a difference. What you do or don't do in that room makes a difference to the type of birth the woman has. What one nurse or midwife does in the room, how she is, has a very different impact from another midwife. You, the midwife, are more important than a whole host of other factors. So do I make a difference? Yes, you do. So we've established what support is, the impact of support. Now I wanted to know about what research there was about support in practice. We know what women say they would like to happen in labour and what nurses and midwives say they provide in labour. but do we know what support is actually given? The NICE intrapartum guideline from 2007 identified that there's a lack of research to identify exactly what the specific components of caregivers' behaviour should be for the best outcomes. Professor Jane Sandel said, to understand the processes at work, more observational studies are needed of the phenomenon of social support in labour. So I took her at her word. The research in this area is certainly quite limited. There have been just 5 studies reported that have sought to observe and measure the support given by professionals during labour, and all of these studies have been carried out in Canada and the USA with obstetric nurses as the subjects. Sorry, this is quite a busy slide. What you'll see from this table is that there have been 3 work sampling studies, they're the top 3, where an observer notes down the activity of all the nurses on labour ward every 15 minutes. And the bottom 2 are observational studies where the observer's actually in the room. I won't go through all the different cells, but I think the main things of interest are in column 4, which is to the left of the yellow column. This is the proportion of time that the nurse spent in the room, which, as you see, varied from just 21% of the time to 58%. And the next column in yellow records the percentage of the nurse's time spent in providing supportive care. And this varied from 6.1% to 31.5%. One of the studies by Gale found that the nurses varied in the amount of time they spent on support from 0 to 36%. So what these studies were able to measure was that the majority of the nurse's time was spent out of the woman's labour room, and that when the nurse was in the room, only a minority of her time was spent providing supportive care. None of the studies looked at how the nurse behaved, whether she was friendly, showed respect, whether she was chatty or used humour, whether or when she described progress she was positive. While I think this seems to be a pretty sorry indictment of the maternity care system in North America, as a researcher, what I could take from these studies is that it's possible to measure the quantity of different types of supportive behaviour during labour. Now I wanted to work out whether it was possible to measure the quality of that support. I found my answer outside of midwifery and maternity literature. Other disciplines appear to be a good few years ahead of us in this area. Behavioural psychology has been using a technique called systematic observation since at least the 1970s. This uses a clear-coded schedule with mutually exclusive categories to record the behaviour that's of interest. Some of the most famous pieces of research using this technique relate to parent and baby interactions. You may well have heard of Brazelton. There's also been a lot of work looking at teacher-pupil interactions in the classrooms, between married couples, and in doctor-patient interactions. What these all seek to do is reduce the impact of the personal judgment of the observer by having a team of trained observers using an instrument that's been shown to produce similar results when different observers view the same interaction. That's called inter-observer reliability. They also seek to look at not only what is said, but how things are said. Non-verbal behaviour, such as facial expression, paralinguistics, such as vocal tone and pitch, and the use of humour, positive or belittling. What these studies have found in other disciplines is that trained observers using such instruments do make quite remarkably consistent judgments, and that these soft elements of interactions are vitally important to patient outcomes. One study, for example, found that the use of humour in a doctor-patient interaction outweighed the health of the patient or how long the appointment was in how satisfied the patient felt with the appointment. So this is what I've tried to do. I've tried to develop a new instrument that's able to record the behaviours as in the previous maternity research, but also seeks to record how those behaviours are carried out. So if you like, it's trying to work out the recipe of the perfect soup. I am hoping that by observing midwives in action, caring for women in active labour and recording their behaviours, and then the feelings women have about the support they were given, that we will begin to know whether the key to positive support is, as Nikki Leap says, the less we do, the more we give. Or maybe we'll find, the more we give, the more we give. Or maybe even, the more we adapt, the more we give. So if we tailor the recipe to the individual woman effectively, perhaps that will have the most positive results. I've developed a computer instrument called the SMILEY, which is the Supportive Midwifery in Labour instrument. What I have needed to do to develop an observation instrument is make sure that it includes all the elements that women and caregivers had said are important in the earlier research I've talked about, what the theorists said about the concept of support, and then turn all of that into things that actually can be observed and recorded in practice. This, using posh terminology, is descending the ladder of abstraction. You go from an abstract concept to an observable behaviour. So you'll see on this slide, I've chosen a couple of examples to illustrate what I mean. We have the concept from the literature of emotional support. Women have described that one dimension of this concept is the presence of the midwife in the room. And then I needed to turn that dimension into something that could be observed and recorded in a labour room. So I've then chosen these elements: the midwife's in the room, she's showing undivided attention, she's responding to a contraction, she's keeping the woman company. And similar for having a sense of control. So that exercise really gave me the content, and then I needed to work out the structure of the smiley. I've developed a new computer program with a great computer whiz at Stirling University who's called Kevin Swingler, and it's designed to enable an observer in the room to record the length of time that a midwife's in the room with the woman, the overall tone, position and demeanour of the woman, partner and midwife, the behaviours of the midwife. It logs events of particular significance like an emergency. It records the context of care, so how busy the labour ward is and who else is in the room with the woman. And the observer, there's one trained observer who sits in the room with a very small laptop who sits there for 3 hours and carries out a complete set of observations every 3 minutes. This is an example page of the smiley. There are about 14 screens to be completed over a 3 minute observation period, so my poor observers are having fun with that. The first screen records the woman's demeanour, position, what she's saying. The next screen records the partner, and the subsequent screens all record the midwife's behaviour. So here you can see this one includes the midwife's position, her vocal tone, demeanour, facial expression. And so the observer will just tick the appropriate box, and you can tick more than one box at a time. You'll also see there's pads on here for when the woman's having a contraction or not having a contraction, who else is in the room, whether there's an emergency, and when the midwife leaves the room or comes back in the room. The smiley then goes on to record all potential behaviours of the midwife, such as emotional support, like reassurance, holding the woman's hand, tangible support, such as giving the woman something to drink, helping her change position, informational support given here, giving suggestions to the woman, and advocacy. So what next? We've now completed the preclinical testing of the smiley for validity with an expert panel and reliability testing with some members of the panel using DVDs of labour episodes. I'm training a team of 5 observer midwives, including myself, and within the next few weeks we'll begin the clinical testing of the instrument. We're going into 4 maternity units across Scotland, including midwife-led and consultant-led units, and hope to recruit around 50 birth partner, woman and midwife trios over the next 5 to 6 months. Following the observation, the woman will be asked to complete a validated questionnaire about her experience of support during her labour. This will help us identify if there are correlations between the support recorded with the smiley and the woman's feelings about her care. That's construct validity. And we'll also record clinical outcomes to begin to see if there are any correlations with the smiley results. So overall, my emerging themes, or the things I'd like you to remember from today, are that we have very good evidence to say that support is vital to women. It's the essential structure of a woman's birth experience. It can outweigh other factors, including pain, pain relief, and medical interventions in subsequent satisfaction with the birth experience. Continuous support has measurable effects on key clinical outcomes, including the type of birth. We must protect above all the commitment to one-to-one midwifery support for all women in active labour and continue to lobby for decent staffing levels to support that. Hopefully, following the completion of my research, we'll have a clear idea about what the recipe of the soup of support should be. We can only be sure to improve what we can actually measure. If we know what midwives do and can begin to make connections with outcomes, we can clearly argue for the value of the midwife and then can help midwives to improve the support they give. But the most important message I want you to remember from this talk is that what we know already from research, and what I hope will be strengthened by my research, is that a successful soup needs good ingredients, the right recipe, but above all, a great cook. And I don't mean Nigella or Jamie Oliver. I mean you, the midwife, and the woman. When we really support women, we make a difference. Thank you very much.